South Asians in the United States. The presenter will be Hillary Robertson, who currently works as a research associate at the Ohio State University College of Social Work. You always look at the B in, otherwise you're really mad. She graduated with her master's in public health in maternal and child health from, isn't it the George Washington University
probably
as well?
Probably,
yeah?
Now
it is. Yeah. The George Washington University, Milken Institute School of Public Health. And I'm reading the address, which does not mean anything. She completed her undergraduate work at Ohio Wesleyan University of Microbiology with a minor in psychology.
Thank you for that introduction. And thank you for having me here today. I'm very excited to be here. This work was completed as my master's thesis while I was at the George Washington University. So I'm going to be talking today about family violence and child sexual abuse among South Asians in the United States. And I unfortunately have no conflict of interest to disclose either. So just a little bit of background on child maltreatment in the United States. In 2013, 3.9 million children in the United States were the subject of a child maltreatment report. Of these 3.9 million children, 679,000 were confirmed victims of maltreatment, and of those 679,000, 9% were confirmed victims of child sexual abuse. However, we know that child maltreatment is grossly underreported, and if you take a look at the original Adverse Childhood Experiences study, which I know it was done in 1998, but it's one of the largest investigations ever conducted to assess associations between child maltreatment and later life health and well-being. There were more than 17,000 participants. But 21% of those participants reported experiencing child sexual abuse at some point in their lifetime. And this is very problematic. We know that adults who experience child sexual abuse are more likely to experience childhood emotional abuse, childhood physical abuse, and exposure to intimate partner violence. It's also well documented that adults who experience child maltreatment are at a higher risk for a whole slew of mental and physical health issues. They report increased suicide ideation and attempt, increased substance use. They're at a higher risk for anxiety, depression, PTSD. They report increased risky sexual behavior and likely as a result increased sexual health concerns. We know that women who have experienced child maltreatment are at a higher risk for intimate partner violence and later adult sexual revictimization. And in general, adults who have experienced maltreatment report poor physical health. We also know that child maltreatment has a significant economic impact. It's estimated that somewhere between $124 and $585 billion have been spent on maltreatment. This includes child health costs, adult health costs, child welfare costs, juvenile justice costs, as well as loss of productivity. And I know that I'm preaching to the choir, but just to give you, when I'm referring to South Asians, I'm talking about individuals who originate from Afghanistan, Pakistan, India, Nepal, Bhutan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, and the Maldives. And we know that the South Asian population in the United States has increased significantly over the last several decades, and there are approximately 3.4 million South Asians living in the United States, and 80% of them are Asian Indian. And to date, there's been very little research on child maltreatment in South Asians living in the United States. And some people believe that this is due in part to the model minority myth, which we heard a little bit about earlier. But just in case you're not aware of that, a model minority is a term that refers to a minority ethnic, racial, or religious group whose members achieve a higher degree of success than the population average, and this success is typically measured in terms of income, education, and other related factors like low crime rate and high family stability. And so this is just one of the many reasons that people believe there has been little research on child maltreatment among this population. However, there have been some qualitative studies on child sexual abuse among Asians living in Great Britain and Canada. However, the majority of these studies have looked at barriers to disclosure. I believe, as the first presenter mentioned, South Asians don't like to talk about sex. It's a very highly stigmatized issue. And a study in Great Britain found that, in general, South Asians reported a lack of knowledge of child sexual abuse and a lack of knowledge of the available services for child sexual abuse. They also reported a lot of fear of disclosure. They felt that if they were to disclose child sexual abuse, they may be publicly exposed, and this would bring shame to them and shame to their family. They also had a fear of culturally insensitive responses from providers. And other qualitative work has looked at the perceptions of maltreatment. However, most of these focus on physical abuse, but some have a sexual abuse component as well. And so we were not able to find an estimate of the prevalence of child sexual abuse among this population in the United States. And I'm sorry about that. Okay. So we decided to look at the prevalence of child sexual abuse among a sample of South Asians living in the U.S. And then we wanted to look at the relationship, if any, between family violence, suicide, and child sexual abuse. We created an anonymous 82-item quantitative survey, which was distributed via SurveyMonkey. We collected information on sociodemographics, suicide ideation and attempt, relationship violence, witnessing parental violence, and child sexual abuse. We used a national sampling frame. The survey was distributed via 58 local and national South Asian organizations, and it was sent to their members via social media and or listserv. The goal was to reach as many South Asians as possible, and as a result, we were not able to calculate a response rate because we don't know how many people received the survey. But we did have 368 eligible participants, and that's the sample that I'll be talking about today. So just to give you an overview of our sample, the average age was 33 years. The majority were female. Three-quarters of our sample identified their country of origin as India. Most, 91%, were United States citizens, and a little over half were born in the U.S. Something that I think is important, we had a very highly educated sample. 72% of our sample had more than a four-year college degree, and a very wealthy sample. Nearly 60% of our sample reported an annual household income of more than $100,000 per year. Okay. So 22% of our sample reported contemplating suicide, 5.3% reported attempting suicide, 24% reported experiencing relationship violence after the age of 14. And something that was very surprising to us that we were not expecting, 41% of our sample reported witnessing parental violence. And so this measure was adapted from the original Adverse Childhood Experiences study. The original study looked at mother being treated violently, but we adapted this question to be gender neutral. So it could have been mother being violent towards father or father being violent towards mother. And that original study that looked at the general population found 12.5%. reported experiencing mother being treated violently. So we were very surprised to find that almost half of our sample had witnessed some type of parental violence. We also found that a quarter of our sample had reported experiencing child sexual abuse. And we break that down by the types of CSA. The most common type was touching, followed by exposure, followed by attempted penetration, followed by penetration. And that number, like I said, is very similar to the rate that was found in the original ACEs study. 21% of that sample reported experiencing CSA. And then we decided to do a logistic regression analysis to look a little more closely at the relationships between CSA and some of those key variables. We did not find witnessing parental violence was not significant. However, we found that participants who reported experiencing relationship violence were 2.3 times more likely to also report child sexual abuse, and participants who reported experiencing suicide attempts were nearly 4 times more likely to also report CSA. And this is fairly consistent with studies that have been completed in other populations. Okay. And I present this to you in light of several limitations. As I mentioned before, this was my master's thesis. I learned a lot sharing. I have learned a lot since. We used a convenience sample, and we did not assess for geographic location, and therefore these results may not be generalizable to the larger South Asian population. The study was cross-sectional, and we relied on adult retrospective reports of CSA, and we know that this could potentially bias the prevalence of CSA downward because people in general don't like to talk about CSA, as we mentioned earlier. We had a very highly educated sample, an underrepresentation of men and South Asians originating from countries other than India, and an underrepresentation of low-income South Asians. But what does this mean? Child sexual abuse, I believe our sample shows that child sexual abuse and family violence cuts across social class and is prevalent in a high-income, highly educated sample. I believe that this study should be used to raise awareness and sensitivity in pediatricians, healthcare providers, teachers, and other mandated reporters. I also believe we know that family-centered prevention programs are the most effective at preventing violence. And so I believe that we need to tailor existing programs or create new family-centered violence prevention programs that are tailored specifically to South Asians in the United States. And there's need to conduct a larger quantitative study on child maltreatment among South Asians. If you have any questions, we are saving them for the end. Just remember that. But if you think of anything later, my email is here. This paper, a full version of this paper, has been published in the Journal of Immigrant and Minority Health, and the citation is here.